Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
And talking to him a little bit before the service, and he kind of has an idea of what God wants to do, and then maybe we're gonna see what he's got for us. So let me pray for you. Father, we thank you so much again for your love and goodness. Father, as we're going to hear today, thank you for the gifts, the different type of gifts that you give us. And thank you for not only the command, but the opportunity to use these gifts to serve you. So God, would you speak through this man this morning with exactly what you would have him to say? And would you open our hearts? Would you open our ears? Would you open our minds to receive what you have for us? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joey. You know, you are one of the funniest men I know. I don't care what anybody says about you. Hold on. I gotta get this working here. All right. Let me scroll up to the top. All right. I am excited to be here today. I'm excited to get to share the Word of God with everybody. And quite honestly, I'm excited just to be alive. And you all should be too, right? Not just because you're physically alive, but we should be excited because we're spiritually alive, right? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, lives in all of us. He lives in us. He lives through us. He lives around us, amongst us. So we should be excited for that because we are not dead and we're not going to die. Even when this physical body passes away, we get to continue on, right? So be excited. All right. First off, that amazing picture right there, that's my wife, for those of you that don't know, that did that. Not only is she absolutely beautiful, but her creative gifts that she has, it amazes me every time. So if you want an impartation of creativity, she's the one to go to. But I'm just honored to be up here. It's a privilege to get to come up and speak and share the Word of God. And it challenges me to study, to dive deep, to understand the Word of God more than I normally would. It's same as if you're when you're in school and you have a project or a presentation that you have to do. You do your homework, right? And you study and you want to become a subject matter expert on it because you don't want to look like a fool when you get up in front of the class. So any chance I get to speak or teach, I just love it because I grow so much in the process of doing it. And then also the other part of that, of me being honored being up here, is just to get to share a pulpit with some of the great teachers, preachers, pastors that have been up here, like Pastor Rod and Joey and Barry. I don't know if Barry's here today. I don't see him, but he's out of town. But if you did not get to hear his message last week, I encourage you to go online, go on the app, whatever you got to do, listen to it. It was an amazing word. Spoke on David and Goliath, but kind of in a different way than I'd heard before. He was talking about finding your mission, right? And that challenged me because I don't know if I had ever actually stated what my mission was before, right? I had an idea, but I never really stated it. So I thought about it, and I realized that when I was younger, pretty much my whole life, I've always said that I'm not going to be a failure. And that's kind of what drove me. But there's a flaw in that. There's a problem in that being your driving force of just not being a failure. Because it's actually really easy to not fail. You just don't try, right? If you don't try, you won't fail. And that's something I'm trying to teach to my kids because they kind of have, a couple of them have that issue where they won't try their hardest at things because they don't want to fail. But yeah, sure, you won't fail, but you also won't succeed. You also won't get anywhere. You're not gonna go anywhere in life if you don't try, right? So I was challenged through that message to figure out what my mission is, and I realized that my mission is to encourage, to teach, to set an example, to lead in both in my family and to those that I come in contact with. My goal is to be an example of what a godly man is supposed to be. And the thing with that is I'm going to fail sometimes, right? And I had to come to terms with that. There's going to be times where I try and I fail. That's okay, because as long as I'm following God's purpose, then he will succeed. And if he succeeds, which we know he will because we read the end of the book, then I will succeed as well, right? So Barry, if you listen on, thank you for helping me articulate that. Now, before I really get into the heart of the message, I want to kind of share a little bit of what my family kind of went through, but really so that you guys get a glimpse into my head and the thinking of Harlan. And it's kind of messed up, to be honest with you, but forgive me. But is anybody here, or is there anybody here who thinks the way I do when something goes wrong or something breaks down, rather than you praying that God give you a simple fix, a cheap fix, a quick fix, that you're like me where I ask for the most complex problem possible, right? And I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, maybe it's because you want to prove yourself. Maybe it's because you don't want to be, you know, the boy that cries wolf, whatever the reason may be. So here's an example of that. Say you're getting ready to go to work. You get in your car, turn the key, it doesn't start, right? I assume that normal people would probably say, Lord, please let this be something really simple, something that doesn't cost me a lot of money, you know, something like the battery cable not being connected, and I just need to tighten it up, right? That's the normal way of thinking. My way is, Lord, let it be something crazy, like the pistons welded themselves to the inside of the cylinder, right? And I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. So the flip side, or the other side of that is, after you figure it out, you get to work. That first person, they get to work 30, 45 minutes late. Boss says, hey, why are you late? What's going on? Say, oh, my car wouldn't start. You know, I looked around, messed around under the hood, and finally, after 30 or 45 minutes, I figured out that the battery cable is loose, so I got a wrench and tightened it up. And sorry it took so long, it's just I'm not that smart, you know. And then your boss is going to judge you. They shouldn't, but they're going to judge you. Okay, and they're going to look at this person and they're going to say, there's a fire in this office today. They might not make it out alive. Okay, so I'm going to stay away from them. Whereas me, on the other hand, I get there. Boss says, hey, why are you late? I said, well, my car wouldn't start. I realized the drag racing that I was doing last night heated the motor up so much that the pistons welded to the inside of the cylinders, but no big deal. I'll take my wife's car for now. I'll dismantle the engine and put it all back together. Shouldn't take too long because I'm a man, you know, so I can do these things. And my boss is going to judge me in a different sense. And he's going to say, well, if there's a fire that happens in this office building today, I'm finding that guy because he's going to get us out of here, right? So how that relates to real life and our situation and what happened with us. Last Sunday, we got back home in the afternoon. We were just, you know, hanging out, resting. I was laying on the couch with our 9-month-old Gracie on my stomach. And then out of nowhere, Zeke, my oldest, he yells out, something's on fire, or something's burning, something like that. Anyways, I look up, smoke is pouring out of the vents, the downstairs is filling up with smoke, so I go look in the oven, look in the microwave, they're not on, it's not those things, right? So the alarm starts going off, Rachel comes and we gather up all the kids, she takes them outside. Me being the man that I am, I decided to go through every room, every closet, every cabinet to see if I could find the source of the smoke. I couldn't. After a few minutes of dealing with the smoke and the alarm and my wife yelling to get my dumb bleep out of the house. She says she didn't say that, but she did. Forgive her. I finally gave in. I came out of the house and called 911. About 5 minutes later, fire department and sheriff showed up, and I looked up and realized we got two fire trucks here, an ambulance, a sheriff. I don't see any flames, don't see the smoke anymore, the alarm isn't going off anymore. But what I do see is the entire neighborhood standing in their front yards, wondering to themselves, what's going on? Is their house on fire, or are they those people that call the fire department for every little thing? And it was at that moment I bowed my head and I said, Lord, burn it down. Just take the whole thing. I don't care. I don't want it. We got insurance. It'll repair and replace everything. But my reputation is gone now. Okay. Praise God, though, it wasn't anything serious. The fire was just the control panel and the air handler blew up in one of our air conditioning units. Didn't mess anything else up. And we were blessed with a brand new air conditioning unit. Not by blessed, we paid several thousand dollars for it. But we're blessed in the sense that God provided, right? And now, because of warranties, we shouldn't have to worry about it for 12 years. So, all right. Now I'm sure you're wondering how this is going to lead into my message today. It really doesn't. I just thought it was funny, so I wanted to share it with you. All right, so let's get into the message. The title of my message today is Don't Neglect Your Gifts. All right? Now, as we get into this, I want to first start off. I feel like I have to tell you all, because I'm such a humble man, and I pride myself on being so humble, and I get pride and humility are technically oxymorons or whatever, but whatever. But since I'm so humble, I feel like I need to tell you all that I believe that I am a gift from God to the rest of humanity. I truly do. I'm a gift from God to the rest of humanity. Now, before you think I'm crazy or full of myself, so are you. So is each and every one of you. Every person in this room, every person on this earth is a gift from God to the rest of humanity, right? You're not a gift to yourself, although some people think that way. You are a gift to the rest of humanity from God. And we can look at the Bible, and we can see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" So this is pretty early on, right? It only took God 1.68 chapters to figure out that man couldn't do it alone. And just the math there, just so you guys know, there's 25 verses in Genesis chapter 2. It was after the 17th verse, he figured it out. 17 divided by 25 is 0.68. Anyways, just figured I should explain that. So he figured that out that quick that one man couldn't do it alone. So he gave a helper. He gave Adam somebody to help him and somebody that Adam could also help, right? Somebody that was unique, somebody that was different, that had different skills, different talents, right? Because one person can't do it alone. And then if we look a little bit further in Psalms, chapter 127, verse 3, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord. Some translations say are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Now, I know a lot of parents think of that as, or see it kind of as their gift until about age 2, and that's when you start looking for the receipt to see if you can give it back. But it doesn't work like that. You can't give those gifts back. That's rude. Don't do that. They were a gift. They are a gift. They will always be a gift. It's not just the children as children that are gifts. It's the person that they are that God is giving as a gift, right? So God continues to gift us with others because without others, we wouldn't be able to have dominion over the earth, which is what God initially created Adam and us to do, right? So we all have gifts, but each of us has only been given so many gifts. I like to consider myself a jack of all trades, master of none, which sounds cool. But basically what that means is I can change the oil, change the brakes on a car. I can change out a light fixture, build a shelf, cut down a tree if I have to. I can do those things. But if you want exquisite landscaping, or if you want me to add on a room to the house or run some new electrical to that room, I can't do that. I don't have those gifts. I don't have those skills. I got to call somebody that does, right? And where would we be if we didn't have carpenters or electricians or plumbers? We'd be in the outhouse, basically. That's where we'd be. But we need these people that have these unique skills and the unique gifts, right? We also, another point that I want to make is that God didn't just give Eve as a gift to Adam to look at. And my wife is absolutely beautiful, and I could stare at her all day long, and I know that she, is blessed just by looking at me all the time, too. But we need more than that. Looks alone are not enough of a gift. It's what's inside of us that matters. It's the characteristics that make us up. It's the personality that God has given us, the skills, talents, so on and so forth. It's what's inside that really matters. Of course, it's funny. That's what they tell ugly people. I'm just kidding. That wasn't nice. I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me. I'm not here just to talk to you all about the gifts of plumbing or carpentry or the gift of handsomeness, which I clearly have. by the way, if John did want to make sure, if you guys want to see what an example of physical gifts really are, just go see John Covey in the back. He can show you. Anyways, our physical gifts are things that others see. They see them clearly, and they can seek us out for them. It's whether it's our trade, what we do. In the case of my wife, it's her creativity. You can see that, and you seek those things out, right? But what I want to talk about today is the ministry gifts, gifts of service, and the gifts of the Spirit. It's the things that are inside of us that other people don't see that we need to recognize within ourselves that we need to share with others. It's typically only your innermost circle that's going to see these things, it's going to recognize it. So it's up to you to identify those God-given gifts and to utilize them, right? Because they're, in my opinion, they're even more necessary than the physical gifts. So let's look at some scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's George Strait. I just couldn't help myself. All right, let's look at the next verse along the same line. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So whatever gifts God has graced you with, do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Give it your all, right? Freely give it. Give it in honor to God. Give it as a way of showing glory to God because he's the one that gave it to us, right? Freely we receive, so freely we should give, right? He didn't give you these gifts so that you could lock them up and hoard them in the closet of your soul, right? He gave them to you so that you could be a blessing to everyone else, to the rest of the world, right? He gave you these gifts to be a blessing, to encourage, to lift up, to help. He gave them to you to utilize your gifts to bring glory to his kingdom, to advance his kingdom, and to make sure that at the end of this all, heaven is full and hell is empty. That's why he gave it to you, right? He didn't give it to you to just stand in the mirror and prophesy to yourself or speak words of encouragement to yourself. That's good, and we need to do that sometimes, but it's meant for everybody else, right? So if you have a gift, be proud of it. If you have 10 gifts, be proud of it. And utilize them, right? And that's what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 12. If your gift is prophesying, then use your faith to prophesy it. If it's serving, then by the grace of God, serve any chance that you get, right? If it's to teach, then study the word and then release what you have learned from the word. If it's to encourage, then set a reminder on your phone every day to encourage someone. And as my wife pointed out to me yesterday, actually follow through with it. Yeah. So, because I do have a reminder and sometimes I forget and she makes sure to let me know. But make sure you encourage someone. If that's your gift, utilize it. Set a reminder and do it, right? What it's not saying, though, is that if your gift is prophecy, then you should teach everyone else to prophesy and try to get them to prophesy, right? That's not what it's saying. If your gift is to serve, then you should encourage the entire world to serve. It's not saying that you should get everybody else to conform to what you do, to what your gift is, or to be exactly like you. We don't need a world full of people that prophesy. We don't need a world full of teachers. Because if we did, what would we do with the rest of the gifts, right? Everybody has unique gifts. Whatever gift you have, use it. Whatever gift other people have, help them understand it, help them find it, encourage them to walk in that gift. But let them be them and you be you. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this. I'm not saying that we shouldn't teach on the gifts. I'm not saying we shouldn't encourage people to serve or things like that. We should. What I'm saying is don't try to get other people to be exactly like you. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. You don't need everybody to look like you. They need to look like themselves. All right. So if you'll go to the next slide. Here's a list of gifts as found in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, and Ephesians chapter 4. There's 20 of them here. I'm not going to talk about all of them just so you guys know. We'd be here forever. There's, you know, some arguments there around how many gifts there actually are. And this is a combination of the ministry gifts and, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. I went with 20 of them here. Some people think there's 16. Some think there's 23. I went with 20. If you disagree with me, then oh well. All right, so these are the list of gifts that I put down. So we've got the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, of giving, leadership, mercy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gift of faith, healing, working of miracles, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostleship, gift of helps, administration, evangelism, and the gift of pastoring. So, obviously, like I said, I can't talk about all of them. We don't have enough time for that. But I do want to dive a little bit deeper into the spiritual gifts, right? And they're found, there's nine spiritual gifts, just so you guys know. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then after I go through these a little bit, we're going to pick a few just to kind of dive a little bit deeper into. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And I know this is kind of a long passage that I'm going to read, but I figure you guys will be edified more and built up more by hearing the word of God than hearing my own thoughts and opinions, right? So just bear with me. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is the message. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So I know that's a lot. Real quick, I do want to go to the next slide. Because I found this, I didn't create this, I found this online, and it splits the nine gifts up into three different buckets. And I thought this was really helpful to understand what the purpose of them is, right? So you've got the revelation gifts, which help you to know. That's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. You've got the three power gifts, the gifts to do. That's the gift of faith, working of miracles, and the gift of healing. And then you've got the three utterance or inspirational gifts, which are those that you say. And that's the gift of prophecy, the different kind of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm going to go a little bit more into that last bucket, the utterance or inspirational gifts, in a minute, explain that a little bit. But before I do, I want to back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the first three verses, it's meant to help you understand basically how to filter out whether something is from God. Because these different gifts, it's not like they're just plain as day, right? It's not like if you get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody, it's not like you just absolutely know or that God speaks audibly. He can, maybe, but typically he doesn't. Like, these are things that kind of pop in your mind, and then you have to release them. So there's an easy way to filter that. Does anybody here know what a flowchart is? Flowchart? All right, a few people know what a flowchart is. Flowchart is very simple. It's basically, if this happens, then do this. Or sometimes it'll be in a question form. Is it this? Yes, do this. No, do this, right? So if this happens, do this. If this happens, do that. That's the basics of a flowchart, right? So you can filter these thoughts that come through your mind the same way. Will this bring glory to God? Yes, do it. Will this not bring glory to God? No, don't do it. It really is that simple, right? And if you look back at the first few verses of Corinthians chapter 12, it kind of explains let me read it. So verse 3 says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. So basically, nobody that's speaking the word of God is going to curse somebody, isn't it? It's not going to curse Jesus. They're not going to say anything or release anything that it goes against the kingdom or that is not going to bring glory to God, right? And then he follows that up by saying no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So putting that into context, right, if there's something that God gives you that brings glory to him that says Jesus is Lord by me saying this or doing this or acting this out, if that's what it's communicating, then it is God, right? So whenever you have things pop in your mind and you feel like you should do something or you should teach something or say something, filter it through that, right? And then also, when it comes to spiritual gifts and gifts of ministry too, whatever gift you have, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and make you think that it comes easy. Like it doesn't. There's a struggle that comes with it. There's always going to be a struggle because the devil is real and the devil is trying to prevent you from walking in what God has called you to walk in. Right? The devil hasn't read the end of the book yet. He still thinks he has a chance. Right? And he will do everything he can to prevent you from being the person that God has called you to be. Right. So, for example, when I get up here and speak, you know, you've got like Joey or Barry or Pastor Rob, when they come up here and speak, I guarantee you they would tell you the same thing. They're a little more experienced, so they can probably handle it a little bit more. But there's pressure involved. There's nerves involved. Number one, because it matters. What we say up here to all of you absolutely matters. Right. So there's a weight on that. But also the pressure of the enemy coming in and saying, are you sure you should say that? Are you sure that's what God would want you to teach or release? Are you sure that people aren't going to take offense to that? Like, those things are real. And if I'm being honest, every time I get up here, even if it's just to open in prayer or say something about the offering, I get nervous and I get sick to my stomach sometimes, but I push through. I keep going. Even though there's pressure and there's forces working against me to make me nervous, I still push forward to walk out the gifts that God has given me. And that's what we all have to do. Don't assume that because something isn't easy, that it's not God. If anything, it's the other way around, right? If it is God, then it probably won't be easy, but it'll be worth it, right? So I just wanted to make sure that you all understand when you're thinking through these gifts or thinking through, you know, whether or not you feel like maybe God has put something on your heart to do something or to say something, like these are some of the triggers that will prevent people from walking it out is because they feel that pressure, they feel those nerves, and then they say, well, maybe I shouldn't do that because if it was God, I'd have peace, but that's not necessarily the case every single time, right? All right, so with all that said, I'm going to start to kind of land the plane here, and I'm going to finish by focusing on the gifts of utterance or inspiration. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, and what it says about tongues and prophecy. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Right? And that first verse in there is huge. In the English Standard Version, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And I like that because utilizing the gifts and walking out these gifts is how you show the love of God. That is how we show love to one another, by freely giving what God has given to us, right? That is love. That's what God means when he says love one another. Share your gifts with one another. Like, give them what he has given you. Now, with this passage here, I don't want you to get confused on it because there is many people within the church or many people within the Christian faith who have used this passage to basically say that tongues is not important or that we shouldn't speak in tongues or that that's not meant for this day. But that is absolutely not true. It's not saying that you shouldn't speak in tongues. What it's saying is tongues is meant for you, for your personal relationship with God. That's the whole purpose. It's so that you can, if you're, say you're praying and you just don't know what else to pray, or you're broken and you just need God to help you break down that barrier. If you speak in tongues in that heavenly language, then the Spirit prays for you. The Spirit helps you to get through it. So it is important. What it's saying, though, is that in group settings or when you're talking to other people, speaking in tongues does nothing for them. If I were to get up here and start speaking in tongues to all of you, you would just be confused. It would do nothing for you. You would think I'm crazy, probably, right? But the exception to that is if there's somebody who has the gift of interpretation of tongues, who can follow it up, who can then share what that person was saying or what God was saying through that person, right? So the gift of tongues in a group setting is only applicable or only helps if somebody else is there that has the interpretation. Prophecy, on the other hand, edifies the entire church. Prophecy edifies everybody. It brings hope. It brings guidance. It helps you to understand what the next steps you need to take. It can build you up, right? It can lift you out of a funk. Right? Prophecy, I forget the verse, exactly what verse it was, but somewhere in the book, you guys can Google it, I'm sure it'll tell you what verse, but somewhere in the book, it says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, right? So you prophesying something is you literally taking the word of God, something that God gave you, to share the good news of the gospel with somebody to give them hope, to give them promise and a future, right? And I like to look at prophecy in two ways, what prophecy is. It's foretelling or it's forthtelling, right? Foretelling, meaning that although we can't see the future, God sees everything, right? God knows what's going to happen in the future. And sometimes God will give a word of prophecy to somebody to release that basically gives you a glimpse of the future. Now, it's usually not going to be clear cut and say on, you know, June 15th, you need to go to this store and you're going to, you know, whatever. It's not going to be like that. But just like how Jesus ministered when he was alive, he most of the time ministered in parables. That's how prophetic words typically are, is God will give basically a parable or a picture to somebody with the gift of prophecy, and they will release it to somebody that needs to hear it. And then from there, you use you interpret the word of God, how it is received to you. A lot of times the person that has the gift of prophecy that's releasing it has absolutely no clue what it means. They have no clue how it even applies, which makes it scary, quite frankly, because you're like, this might not make any sense to them at all, but I feel like I have to release it. But the receiver, they take it, they interpret it, filter it, you know, through the same way as everything else, filter it out and ask God if it resonates. And if it does, well, now you have hope. Now you have some direction. Now you have guidance, right? The other side of it is forthtelling. Forthtelling basically means that maybe there's something that God wants you to do, or a calling or an action or something that God has for you that you've never fully stepped into. But God will release a word to somebody to spark action. Basically, they'll tell you something that will get you to think, maybe I should do this. And it's something sudden or random, but it gets you to take action. It gets you to take a step, to do something. And without that prophetic word coming forth, maybe that would have never happened. Maybe you would have never taken that action in the first place, right? So foretelling and forthtelling. And I don't want to go into a whole lot more of the spiritual gifts to try to get you all, again, I don't want you all to try to be like me or to be like anybody else. And just so you guys know, to be clear, I'm not claiming to be any sort of prophet or anything like that. I'm not. This isn't about me. I just really felt that God wanted to talk about the spiritual gifts and to talk specifically about some of the inspirational gifts, because prophecy can inspire you to take action. Prophecy can help somebody that's lost and broken, that absolutely needs a word from God. Prophecy can lift them up out of that place. It can make them move to step into what God has called them to do. Right. So that's the point of this message, is to encourage you, whatever gifts you have, whether it's if it's prophecy, great, absolutely wonderful. If it's not prophecy, great, absolutely wonderful. You don't have to have any specific gift, but I promise you, you all have gifts. you all have at least one of these gifts up here. Everybody does it. Maybe it hasn't been activated yet. Maybe you don't know it. You don't realize what it is. But I promise you, you have one or more of these gifts. Jesus probably had all of them. I don't know if anybody else did. But everybody has something, right? Before I wrap up, I feel like there's a couple people that God has highlighted to me. And I'm going to take a step of faith here. And I'm going to share with a couple people what I feel like God is saying. Chris, you were kind of highlighted to me, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle going way faster than you should be, right? And you're kind of weaving through traffic, right? And I felt like what God was saying in that is that he's about to accelerate your life. I feel like what he's saying is that he's going to hit the throttle and he's going to speed things up, whether it be in ministry, in business, in your personal life. He's going to speed things up, and it's going to be very uncomfortable in a lot of ways because you're going to be going faster and doing things that maybe you weren't ready for, right? But I feel like God wants you to know that all he needs you to do, all he wants you to do is just hold on. Hold on to the handlebars and keep your balance. That's all you got to do. Hold on to the handlebars, keep your balance, and he's going to move you very quickly around barriers, around people that are trying to get in your way. He's going to move you around them to where you're supposed to go. So get ready. And then another one from my friend Mike Rohr. There's like 18 Mikes here, but Mike Rohr is a friend of mine, coworker. I feel like during worship, God showed me a picture of a waterfall, and you were going down that waterfall. So I asked God what that means because it's scary, right? So I feel like what he was saying is, you were kind of going along the stream for so long, and then you hit that waterfall, and on the way down, it's scary, right? Like when you're on your way down from a waterfall, I've never gone down a waterfall, but I've seen it in movies, and it looks pretty scary, right? So as you're going down, all these thoughts are going through your mind of, how am I going to make it through? Is there rocks at the bottom that I'm going to hit? Is there something that's going to kill me, that's going to stop all of this progress that I've made? But I feel like God is telling you that the water is deep enough that you're going to be safe. You're not going to be broken, that you're going to land on your feet and you're going to push through. And when you get to the end of it, when you get to the bottom and you start to float again, you're going to realize that that made you stronger than that steady stream that you were going down before. So just remember that when it feels like you're about to crash down and you don't know what's underneath that water, just believe that the water's deep enough and nothing is going to hurt you. And then that's kind of scary. Now that I think about it, this other one is kind of scary too. But I do believe that it's going to build you up. So Mike and Rachel, I saw a picture of a cliff, a mountain, a big rock formation, basically. And you look around and you can't see your way around. You're trying to find another path because you know you have to get to the other side, right? But you can't find the path. There's no way around. I feel like God is saying that he has equipped you to climb. That rock formation that's in front of you, that's been scary, that you don't know how you're going to get over it or get around it, he's equipped you to climb. You have everything that you need, and he's going to be waiting there at the top with his hands stretched down to pull you up the rest of the way. And when you get to the top, you're going to see the view and you're going to realize that why you had to go through that. Because if you would have gone around any other way, you would have missed everything else. So there's a purpose in it. So that wall or that rock or that mountain that's there, it's there for a reason. And that reason isn't necessarily bad. It's just something you have to climb to get over so that you can see the picture, the big picture. So just be encouraged on that. Then I don't know your name. What's your name? Timothy? So Timothy, so for you, I just see creativity, right? And I don't know exactly what that means. It could be painting, could be music, could be drawing. I don't know. But what I saw was I saw the word creativity. I saw you in the ocean, and you're just kind of floating by, like things have been kind of steady. It hasn't, the waves haven't been that big. So maybe you've been a little bit comfortable, but you're not really pushing to where you want to go. And I just see this wave, this huge wave just coming and crashing over you. But it's not a bad thing. It's not a wave that's going to knock you over or push you out of where you're supposed to be. This wave is going to thrust you or push you into what God has called you to do. So all that creativity that you have built up that you've just been waiting to release, that the wave that you've been waiting on is coming. So just be prepared. Get ready, because when that wave hits you, it's not going to be a bad thing. It might hurt initially. There might be some struggles in it. But just know that that wave is going to push you to where you're supposed to be. It's not going to hurt, all right? All right. So I could probably, I'm sure God has things that he wants to share with everybody. By all means, I'm happy to pray for anybody if anybody wants to come up, but I do want to be respectful of everybody's time. I might come find a couple of you just to share some things that God has put on my heart. But I feel like now is a good time for us to just kind of press in to worship God again. So Rachel, if you don't mind, if you could come up. Also, just so you know, I don't want to do it now because I want to be respectful of COVID and whether or not people are worried. But if you're not worried, the Bible says that gifts are often imparted by the laying on of hands. And again, I don't have every gift. I don't claim to. But there's people here, somewhere or another, that has each and every one of these gifts. And if there's a gift that you feel that God has for you or that you want, Paul says to eagerly desire the gifts. So to me, that doesn't mean necessarily that we're just preset with this is the gift that you have and that's it. He says eagerly desire, meaning that if we really want it, then we can go out and get it, and God will give us that gift, right? He'll bless us with that gift. And there's multiple places in the Bible where it says that that's done through the laying on of hands. So if you want prayer, if you want impartation for anything after service, I encourage you all to come up. I will, by all means, pray, you know, and bless you with anything I can. The prayer team, the elders can come up and do the same thing as well. But I just want to wrap this up by encouraging you all to step out. Right. So I felt like the reason why I shared a couple of those words is because, number one, it's uncomfortable for me because, like I said, I don't know. I mean, I see a picture. I don't know how it's going to be received. I could be completely wrong. If I am, don't tell anybody. Yeah, that's going to really mess up my reputation. Right. But it's a risk that you have to take. Right. When God gives you something, it's your responsibility is just to say yes. Your responsibility is just to walk it out and to believe, have the faith that what you're hearing is God. Run it through that filter that I talked about. Make yourself a flow chart if you have to. But just say yes and just do your part. So I encourage you all, step out. Don't let fear stop you from utilizing your gifts in any way. There's going to be fear. You're going to be nervous. It's going to be scary. But do it anyway. If you throw up, that's fine. Just, you know, rinse your mouth out with some scope or something and then move on, right? But don't let it stop you. Be yourself. Be who you were created to be. Eagerly desire the gifts, right? And eagerly desire to give those gifts freely, just as God freely gave them to you, right? So remember, you are a gift. You have a gift. Jesus lives in us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us. So that Spirit can empower us to do everything that God has called us to do, right? So build others up, show them the love of God, and as Pastor Rod has said many times this year, be faithful and fearless, all right? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I just thank you, Lord, for being you. I thank you for the gifts that you have given each and every one of us. I thank you for the gifts of each other, just for adding people to our realm of influence, for putting others in front of us so that we can bless them, so that they can bless us, God. I thank you for that. God. And Lord, I pray that you would spark an interest, spark a desire in the hearts of everyone here today, that if they aren't aware of gifts that they possess, Lord, that you would just highlight it to them today, Lord. Give them the faith to seek it out, to eagerly desire those gifts, and then give them the faith to walk it out. Give them the faith to release it, Lord. And I feel like, there might be some people here or some people that are watching online that this is brand new to you, and maybe it's really weird. I don't know. That's not my problem. But I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity first to receive God's love. If you're not sure about the gifts, or you're not sure if you're even there yet with God, if you haven't made that commitment yet, before you can get to that point of receiving those gifts, walking out those gifts, we've got to make sure that we first take that step of commitment and asking Jesus into our hearts, right? So if we could, the church, you all know the drill. If you could just pray with me or repeat after me so that nobody feels singled out. But Lord, we thank you for this gift of life and the gift of love that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. Today, Lord, I accept you. I say that you are Lord. You are the King of my life. And that I know that you died for me. So I receive your love today. And I will celebrate with you in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So now that you've done that, now you can eagerly desire the gifts. Now you can go out and minister. Now you can go and show and spread the love of God to everybody else, right? So just do it. Just be yourself. Don't be scared. Don't fear. Don't worry about it. If it's God, you're going to know it's God. Just do it, right? Just do it. So if anybody wants to come up for prayer, we'll be more than happy to pray for you. If not, you do not have to stand around and wait. You are dismissed. We just bless you all. We thank you all for coming. Lord, we pray that everybody here has a tremendous week, that nobody has to deal with an AC blowing up like we did last week. But we just ask for a hedge of protection around everybody's air conditioning, Lord. And just bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.